are under pressure health service. It seems every week there are health problems in the headlines. People waiting for operations and pain for months as waiting lists grow and grow. NE departments under pressure, funding under huge pressure. The SDLP is alleging there's been a failure of political leadership. The party's health spokesperson is Fergal McKinney. What failure? Where?
Well, it's all over the system. And, you know, this goes back to conversations that we've had going back to 2.5 years and extends back to conversations that the health system itself was having in 2011 when it recognised there was going to be a growing older population and that it needed to, or should have at that point, assess the growing need that would come and then take action to try and prevent the stresses happening in the accident emergency side. They have singularly, and the DUP has singularly failed to deal with that adequately, which has led to the accident and emergency crisis, led to this elective care crisis, led to the GP waiting list crisis. So they fundamentally and strategically, and I think this is the important thing, I held a conference last week and invited actually John Compton, who was the original author of the piece called Transforming Your Care, along as well as with other eminent speakers, including from the RCN and the unions. And, you know, there is a consensus there that what should have happened didn't happen and that what we need to do now is take a much, much more strategic look at this. This isn't just about money. I mean, we can demonstrate fundamentally that throwing money at the problem doesn't answer it. Remember, they tried to do that in accident and emergency last year and they trumpeted that they were going to do all of these things to prevent accident and emergency.
Well,
but what happened, I'll just finish this point, but what happened was that that provoked a crisis in elective care and then they put more money into the elective care at the end of last year and there's an administrative problem that doesn't allow them to spend the money to get the operation.
So prove to me then that this isn't just point scoring from you. How would you solve the problem in accident and emergency, for example?
Well,
what's your idea?
You're narrowing down to an accident emergency. I think this is a whole systems approach. I think we need to understand that.
Well, you mentioned accident and emergency.
Well, yes, because, and you will remember that I said at the very start of this that they, when the accident and emergency, these were symptoms, not the cause. And you remember that phrase, symptom, not the cause.
That's fine, but how would you fix it?
Well, I think what we need to do is prioritise health within the executive going into the next mandate. And I mean that in a way that the executive wholeheartedly says that we will make that our number one.
But you said throwing money at it isn't the solution. So what would you do?
Well, what we would do, what I would suggest that we could do is get government, because an awful lot of the problems in health emerge also out of long-term deprivation and unemployment. So we've big communities here, high-density communities, where there's legacy of the troubles, there's mental health problems.
You're off on a tangent now.
No, I'm not. No, you've asked me what would I do to fix it, so you've got to give me the time.
No, in accident and emergency, the real-life situation on the ground in NE, how would you fix the infrastructure within NE? How would you change it?
Well, what you've got to do is, I'll go back to my point. What is happening in A&E is not just that people are turning up at A&E because they don't have any other options. They're coming to A&E because they can't get a doctor's appointment. They're coming to A&E because they can't get other allied health professionals the door open. They're coming to A&E because pharmacy's not been allowed to open its doors to the full extent. So what I would do, I would invest heavily in social care. The primary side of the system needs much more investment so that people feel that they're getting access to services on a much wider basis.
Pharmacy's not open to the full extent. You would extend opening hours.
In Scotland, for example, pharmacy's allowed to do a wider range of treatments. And people can go to pharmacy and if they've got a small problem, et cetera, and the system will look after them there.
I don't know.
What's happening is we have a number of doors into the health service. They're all blocked. And what's happening is that the numbers are then crescendoing, if you like, or flooding over the culvert or the door and swamping the system.
Well, Edwin Poots is listening to this from the DUP this morning. Presumably he's pointing the finger at you, Edwin.
Fergal's very good at pointing fingers. What he doesn't realise when he points a finger, there's normally three fingers pointing backwards. And, you know, could I pose a question to Fergal? Rafa Bengoa was over last week, who's leading the group that's looking at reform, a person who had previously advised the Obama administration and a person who has been working very closely in the European Council and so forth. And can I ask if Fergal actually met Russell Bengoa, as the other parties did?
There was a difficulty in the diary. I was offered two things, one a meeting or a phone call. Because my diary had already been booked and I was very...
You were too busy?
No. I've agreed to have a phone call and that was accepted. Don't misinterpret that. There was no negativity attached to the concept of having the meeting either over the phone or face-to-face. I'm waiting that call from him. I don't have his number.
See, I'm very surprised that nobody from the SDLP was able to meet someone who every other party...
Look, you're taking a whole lot of weight on
something of such significance.
Hold on, Fergal. Let's hear from Edwin. Edwin Poots, of course, was a former health minister.
I think it's amazing that Fergal can come on and put such great emphasis on health, but could not rearrange his diary, or no one else from the SDLP was available to meet someone who is engaged in such a significant project on taking forward reform in the health service. Interestingly enough, others have indicated that they're up for reform. The SDLP are saying, well, we might actually oppose reform. The SDLP are actually a sticking block to making progress on health and to moving forward. Because if we do health the way we're doing it now, in 10 years' time, we'll have failed. If we'd been doing health the way we're doing it 10 years ago now, then we'd have failed. Over the course of the last number of years, you know, we have made amazing progress on people who have heart attacks, strokes, cancer services, all of these things. We have been making great advances and making a considerable difference to the lives of many tens of thousands of people across Northern Ireland. Those are things which Fergal doesn't want to look at. But our biggest issue and our biggest problem is around chronic illness. That's about how we care for our elderly, how we provide that support for those elderly, how we switch people away from hospitals, how we actually ensure that we get that money into the community where we belong. And I don't think it's a job for one party alone. I don't think it's a job for Minister of Health alone. I think it's a job that we all need to roll our sleeves up and get in together and work together.
We don't need another Rafael Bengoa report which kicks this all down the road for another way.
You have the opportunity to cut out of the bag now. You're opposed to Rafael Bengoa.
No, I'm not opposed.
And assisting us with the work. Well, thank you for letting us know that.
Look,
When you talk to him on the phone, Fergal McKinney, are you going to tell him that you think it's a waste of time?
You just listen
his report is a waste of time?
If you listen to the concluding remarks there of Edwin, he's actually agreed with me.
But just to clarify the point with me, when you talk to this man on the phone, as you said you will, are you going to tell him you think that his report that he hasn't even made yet is a waste of time?
No, I will caution him that we could waste time. I won't say that it's a waste of time.
Well, you've just said it. You don't need another report like his.
I will caution him that it could waste time.
No, you've just said that you think his report isn't needed before you even speak to him.
Well, we have a consensus. We had a consensus in 2011. Edwin was the then health minister and he didn't take the action that he needed to take. Jim Wells followed him. He didn't take the action that we needed to take. And Simon Hamilton is now implementing another report. I'm right. I'm right to be cautious about the concept of further reports that kick us on down the road beyond the election. We need action now. And we need a commitment from the executive that, in fact, government departments will work together around the underlying causes. And that, in terms of health, we will start to invest in the primary sector.
Nick Garbutt writes in his article for Scope NI. He says, to date, all parties have expressed enthusiasm for transforming your care. And yet, whenever any hospital or other locally based service is threatened with closure, politicians of all parties take to the streets to protest instead of explaining to voters that this is a policy they have signed up to and which will result in better services. When there's any mention of acute hospitals being closed, the SDLP's the first out with their placards.
Well, the reality is that people need to see, and they're right to be cautious whenever these things come up in debate, when they have seen that the department and the minister have not invested in the primary side first. And that's what we needed. And that's what transforming your care foresaw.
Okay, Edwin?
We would need that type of investment to change the context.
Edwin?
Well, if there's no investment in the primary side, there's 12,000 prescriptions dispensed every day. There's 24,000 domiciliary calls every day. There's 6,000 people who are being treated in outpatients every day. No, every single day, people are receiving that basic care. That low-level chronic care that we're talking about. But we can do it better. We need to do it better. And we need to focus on how we can deliver. And in doing that, we need to do it together. And what we, the problem that we have is that with people who will jump on whatever bandwagon happens to pass and then engage in cheap political shots. I think health is above that. I think health is more important than that.
Eddie and Antrim, let's take a call from someone at home. Morning, Eddie.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
About a year and a half ago, I was referred on to the Chitty Hospital for a genetic condition I have. And I was told that the waiting lists were about 2 years, 2.5 years. So I was expecting to see the hospital sort of towards the end of this year. And at the weekend there, I received a letter saying that I've been passed on to private work now, 352 Healthcare. My understanding that the private work has all stopped. And what's that? Would, to me, it would look like now that it's started again.
How long have you been waiting in total?
Well, say it's a year and a half I was referred, so I was told it was going to be about another year.
My goodness.
To see them, you know, but... So obviously I was going to be waiting 2.5 years, roughly.
Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning.
Edwin here. Eddie, we were making significant progress on waiting lists, and we were actually using the private sector. When the whole welfare row kicked off and we started getting the fines, then all of the money that we were using to bring the private sector in was stripped out of the system. And that's why the waiting lists have grown so long and people like you have had to wait so long.
Yep.
So thankfully, when we got welfare resolved, we've been able to use the private sector again because the capacity doesn't exist within the system. And it'll take a fair time to grind those waiting times down, but it's absolutely wrong that people like you should have had to wait. But that was the reason. It was down to the fact that two political parties in the Assembly wanted to hand me back to Westminster as opposed to spend it in health.
Just to clarify, I didn't hear it announced. Maybe it happened when I was away. But has an announcement been made that the private sector is back in the game again?
Well, so Simon Hammond got £40 million as soon as the welfare issue was resolved, and that has been invested in bringing people in. Of course, the SDLP put a motion through the Assembly opposing the private sector, actually assisting us to do that some time ago. That's something that we ignored and have continued to use them because we will never... have the requisite number of people within the system to ensure that waiting lists are a reasonable time and people like Eddie having to wait for that interminal period.
Patrick and Derry next. Morning, Patrick.
Hello, Stephen. Stephen, how long is it going to go on? When you bring them on all the time, I've heard all these different names, the incompetence. See, if it was the BBC employees, they'd be all sacked long ago. But you see, these boys in charge of the NHS, the DUP and the unions, all this incompetence, the people are suffering all the years I've listened to your programme. And you know this, not one of them loses their jobs. You just check how many of them ever lose their jobs. They get shifted sideways, they go somewhere else, and they bring in somebody else, and they blame everybody else. Like, he's on again blaming the SDLP. The SDLP is not in charge of the NHS in Northern Ireland. It's the DUP. They should be competent enough to do the job. And every time I listen to this programme, they make excuses. The New Start, the New Start was the biggest hypocrisy we ever heard. The people are still saying, I thought he promised they were going to give us justice. You know, it's all promises. I mean, I can go back to the maze when Gregory was in charge of that 10 million and he couldn't handle it and he gave a job away. And
now, Gregory would very much reject that and would say that he could handle it.
Come on, see, I know
and he did not give the job away. So let's not start...
It was a
rotational policy.
He was in charge of the maze and all that.
I'm saying there was a rotational policy within the DUP. We're not talking about Gregory this morning.
No, because I am talking about the incompetence of the DUP right through the whole programme, who are now electioneering to try and prove that they're good enough for the people of Northern Ireland. And you won't back me. You won't say, you're right. Through the years I watched them, they're incompetent people who never do anything. They get shifted sideways or they move out, but they never ever prove themselves.
Well, they're not incompetent. Many of these people are.
You always said that. The people are listening to that.
People.
You saying that for years. The people of Northern Ireland are listening to you saying that. They're not incompetent. And you can't prove one of them who are competent. That's all I want to hear. Pick them out for me and tell me he's the competent boys. He's the boys who looked at the health, the roads and all that there. And I'll be a happy man. Or education. No. It's just disgrace. Incompetent people run Northern Ireland.
He's angry, Edwin.
Yes, I am.
I think if the SDLP are getting some of their people to ring in, they might get some.
I am not an SDLP supporter.
Present a better argument than has just been made.
Quite up. See, that's his argument again.
I think it's entirely appropriate that towards the end of a mandate, people are entitled to ask, did those who were in charge deliver?
Yeah, but Fergal, it is true that the SDLP voted against the private sector picking up some of the operations, which ultimately reduced waiting lists, didn't you?
We accept that the private sector has a role to play in the system.
But you tried to block it.
What we don't want is the private sector taking over the system. Of course, you need some facilities around the margins to be able to deal with.
No one's ever proposed the private sector taking over the system, but you tried to block it, didn't you?
We didn't try to block it. What we're concerned about is the overall blockages in the health system. You take, for example,
so when you say you didn't try to block it, did you vote against the private sector doing operations in the NHS which would reduce waiting lists?
I don't recall me voting at all in that context.
Fergal wouldn't recall it because it was his predecessor, Colonel McDevitt, who actually brought forward the motion. He was the proposer of the motion. It was an SDLP motion. And as minister, I did not adhere to that motion, because if I adhered to that motion, the waiting list would have shot through the roof very, very quickly.
Well,
the private sector accounts for a tiny fraction. I think something around about 6% of the entire spend. What it helps to ensure is that waiting lists are a reasonable time.
We have waiting lists brought down to the lowest that
they were for 5 years. But as a consequence of the SDLP and Sinn Féin signing a petition,
Stephen, can I have another say?
What's blocked the money coming to health and instead was spent on welfare fines, we were not able to use that.
Nick,
so that was the reason that the waiting lists have went up.
Nick Garbutt,
was spent on welfare fines and not the health service.
I mentioned Nick Garbutt. Nick Garbutt earlier on, the commentator editor of Scope magazine. Do you think Stormont's going to deliver on the changes needed within the health service, Nick?
I'd like to think so, but I'd be really worried that it wouldn't. Edwin was mentioning Raphael Bengoa just earlier on, and Edwin, you went to see him in 2012, in order to compare notes, you know, because the Basque Country, it devolved administration a bit like Northern Ireland in that respect, was going through a similar process. To 2016. He's coming over here now to help us to implement our reforms, having been very successful and having gone on, as you say, to advise President Obama. So in the Basque Country, it's happened. Here, it hasn't happened. And I would much rather that politicians of all hues started to take more of a collective approach to this. Everybody's agreed on what needs to happen. Things aren't happening. Every time there's a movement to make change, to alter the services that a local hospital delivers, for example, there's a huge storm on the ground, and quite often these changes that are necessary don't happen. I think unless and until politicians of all parties get together quietly out of the public domain and agree collectively to make things happen, then what's going to happen is ultimately the entire health service here is going to collapse.
Mervyn's in Hollywood.
Nick's entirely right, just before Mervyn comes in there. And what we do need to do is have collective leadership when it comes to health, where people are working together, and as opposed to saying, well, here I can get up and get a cheap political shot and a few sound bites. We actually all need to be working to ensure that we deliver the best health service possible. And in that instance, that will involve...
There wasn't very much of a collective mood when I remember back to when Michael McGimsey was the health minister, and it was your party who battered him up and down the street. There's nothing collective about that.
Well, what I am saying at this stage is that we, and I would say before the election, that key people in the party, sit around the table and say, whoever gets health, let us have a working group amongst the parties who will have the issues put before them by the health minister, and we can work collectively, because I believe health is above politics, and the people of Northern Ireland deserve better.
That's all very fine when now it's a DUP minister in charge.
I'm talking about next term. I don't know who's going to be in charge.
Yeah,
it could be DUP, it could be Sinn Féin, it could be SDLP.
Yeah, but
it could be the Alliance.
But I'm trying to remember back, Edwin. Maybe your memory's better than mine. It was the DUP that had placards out, stop the Magimpsey health cuts, wasn't it?
I'm talking as to how we move forward here. I'm not talking about how we done it in this term.
Do you regret how you treated Michael Magimpsey?
How we done it in the previous term.
Do you regret how you treated him?
Well, I wasn't engaged in that because I was a ministerial colleague of Michael Magimpsey's, and we made our arguments about health as to what needed to be done. And we have made many reforms, but there is much, much more to do, and there is much more to achieve.
Tell you what, if this is beyond politics, Edwin, well, here's an answer that just needs a question needs a straight answer. Do hospitals need to close in Northern Ireland? Do acute hospitals need to close?
I think that we don't need to be closing hospitals, but as we move forward, hospitals will be specialising in various fields, and other hospitals will be picking up different kinds of work. For example, if I have a stroke here in Lisburn, I want to go to the Royal or the Ulster Hospital. However, if my elderly father has a kidney infection or a chest infection, he's probably better dealt with in a local hospital away from the mayhem of those bigger hospitals. So I think that there's hospitals for particular purposes, and won't really be looking at closing hospitals. It's about how we actually use the hospitals.
And all of that will underscore, Stephen, the need to invest in that primary care side. And I think if we're to take what Edwin Poots is saying as a way forward, it needs to be even bigger than what he's suggesting. And that's why the SDLP is saying that the executive overall has to take a comprehensive look at not just health, but what is underlying the health problems. We have an enormous amount of people with long-term conditions emerging out of long-term unemployment and long-term deprivation. And we need to make societal change that won't have us dealing with an ill health service, which is what we have at the moment, but dealing with a health service and talking about people getting healthier, fitter, and being able to deal with their own conditions in a different way when they have them, and allowing people much greater access out into the community for the services that they need. That's going to take a real systems approach. And that's why the SDLP is making these arguments and saying that going into this mandate, no health minister should be left on their own in that context, but that there needs to be a commitment, an absolute guaranteed commitment, that this whole systems approach will be taken.
Okay. Mervyn, go on, Mervyn.
Hello, good morning, Stephen. Stephen, can I ask Edwin, why does he obviously support the use of the private sector in the health service? I mean, why do we need another man from the other side of the world to come to Northern Ireland to tell us how to run our health service? You think the way you were covering this was taxes? This is one of the smallest countries in the world. We have a health minister who's looking for... I don't understand this. Why are we bringing people to Northern Ireland to tell us what our problems are?
Because we had a report carried out by Sir Liam Donaldson, who was the chief medical officer in England, last year, which recommended that we get that kind of support to drive things forward. There is a reform package which is being proposed. That reform package has not been supported by the SDLP. They're indicating that they may well oppose the reforms. And we will not have the health service that you need and that I need and that my family need unless we actually reform the health service. And, you know, Rafael Bengoa has had amazing success in the Basque region without getting more money. He's been able to deliver, and that is an important element that we need to look at, how they have succeeded there. But I think that there needs to be greater political consensus if we are to achieve that.
This political consensus line is great from you, Edwin Poots. I did a wee bit of searching there. I've actually found a press release from the DUP. What's this? 2009, to be fair. But look at this. McGimpsey cuts hit Lagan Valley. Lagan Valley MLA Jonathan Craig has said Lagan Valley accident and emergency has fallen victim of what he brands the McGimpsey health cuts. People in Lisburn say the DUP will now have to travel several miles to Belfast or the Ulster Hospital in Dundonald should it be an emergency. This decision will also impact on waiting times in other hospitals. As I say, you battered them up and down the park, and now, of course, you're saying that political parties should be bigger than this. You should all join forces. You didn't when it was an Ulster Unionist Party health minister, and you needed to try to take them out.
Well, the challenge was that probably Michael was pretty much opposed to a lot of reform and was basically demanding an awful lot more money. And it's one thing to demand the money, but you do need to carry out significant reform at the same time. What I'm saying going forward is that whoever it happens to be at the head of the Department of Health, that it will be much better, and I haven't heard you argue against this, or indeed Fergal providing a cogent argument against it, that we need to be actually working more closely together to try to ensure that we can carry out reform in a sensible way, as opposed to people taking cheap political shots, jumping on bandwagons at every opportunity. That's not going to turn health around.
Right.
And we all want. I believe even a heart Fergal wants a better health service. I certainly want a better health service. But to achieve that, you know, we can stand and carpet each other from the corners, or we can actually work together to deliver. I'd much prefer to work together to deliver.
Final word for you, Fergal.
Well,
20
I think at the latter end of those remarks, Edwin's admitting that the DUP did jump on the bandwagon. The atmosphere at that time was in around the time of the Transforming Your Care. His party refused or couldn't or hadn't the ability or inclination or determination to shift things in the way that it should have done. That has what has led to the problems that we have in the system now. And there needs to be a change, but it's got to be a whole system change to allow people greater access in the primary side.
Fergal, thank you. Edwin, thank you. Nice to talk to you both this morning.